The Buffalo Massacre, Book Bans, and the Enduring Wounds of Racism. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. 10 people were slaughtered in Buffalo last Saturday, killed at a supermarket in the heart of the Black community. The gunman, an 18-year-old self-professed white supremacist armed with a legally purchased Bushmaster AR-15-style semi-automatic rifle. His goal, based on a rambling, poisonous 180-page document he posted online, was to, quote, kill as many Blacks as possible, unquote. Of the 13 victims, including three who were injured, 11 were African American. The killer live streamed the massacre on the social media video website Twitch. While the Amazon-owned site pulled down the gruesome video within minutes, it was immediately posted, then accessed by millions on other internet platforms. Challenging racist violence demands an understanding of our true history. Instead, a vocal minority in our country are demanding not gun bans, but book bans, trying to suppress the teaching of our country's deep-seated systemic racism. The Buffalo shooter espoused a conspiracy theory known as the Great Replacement, which wrongly posits that traditional native-born white majorities are being replaced by people of color, immigrants, Jews, and Muslims, aided and abetted by a left-wing globalist elite. This new population, the racist replacement theory maintains, compliantly votes according to the dictates of their supposed Democratic Party sponsors. The killer, who's in custody, directed his animus at replacers, as he called them, principally African Americans. His slapdash screed, which borrows heavily from another one posted by the racist mass murderer who perpetrated the Christchurch, New Zealand mosque massacres in 2019, betrays a profound ignorance of the history of race and racism in this country.
This crisis of a white supremacist domestic terror is likely to get worse,
warns Professor Ibram X. Kendi, founding director of the Boston University Center for Anti-Racist Research on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
Studies have shown that anti-racist education, that anti-racist books serve in a protective fashion, particularly from white youth, when they are exposed to white supremacy, because through learning about the history, let's say, of white supremacy, they're better able to recognize it.
Several of Professor Kendi's books have been banned or targeted for removal from school curricula and libraries, including the National Book Award-winning Stamped from the Beginning, The Definitive History of Racist Ideas in America. Texas Senator Ted Cruz drove Kendi's children's book, Anti-Racist Baby, onto bestseller lists after denouncing it and several other books during the Senate confirmation hearings of African-American Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson. Professor Kendi continues,
anti-racist education, first and foremost, is teaching our children about the history of white supremacist ideology, the role that white supremacist ideology played in racial slavery, in settler colonialism, in Jim Crow. It's also teaching white children and children of color about all the different people of all races who challenged settler colonialism and slavery and Jim Crow and mass incarceration. It's teaching children that there are multiple cultures, just as there are multiple cultures, colors, and we should value them all equally. It's teaching children that the source of racial disparities and inequities in our community is not the inferiority of a particular racial group, but this history and presence of racist policies. It's teaching children, you know, our racial reality so that they can see that though we look differently, though we speak differently, we're all equals, but the cause of these inequities are indeed racism.
The domestic terrorist in this case reportedly chose Buffalo after searching zip codes close to his overwhelmingly white hometown of Conklin, New York. He then traveled several hours to Buffalo's Kingsley neighborhood and targeted the Tops Friendly Market on Jefferson Avenue. Why the supermarket? India Walton, a former Buffalo mayoral candidate and senior strategic organizer with the progressive organization Roots Action, explained on Democracy Now!
We know that 80% of the population of the east side of Buffalo are people of color, are Black people specifically, and they have one place to shop. We have dubbed it food apartheid because it is a policy decision. Deserts are naturally occurring, and the fact that there is no food on the east side of Buffalo and there's not the availability of these basic services is a policy choice. There are people who actively chose to not provide services in this community, and for a long time, we've been told that this tops on Jefferson. We are lucky to have it because no one else wants to come into the neighborhood.
The Buffalo mass murderer also considered additional targets, including a school and a church. According to online chats attributed to him, he feared the school would have too much security. Fortunately, he was stopped at the supermarket.
White supremacists are making the case that it's people of color, that they're the source of their pain, which is something that many of these young white male supremacists are being indoctrinated on, groomed on, and thereby carrying out mass shootings,
says Professor Kendi.
And this is only going to get worse if we don't get a handle on it.
Limiting access to guns and expanding access to education about the role of racism in our society and learning, as Ibram Kendi's book title suggests, how to be an anti-racist are fundamental steps to stem the horror of hate and heal these long festering wounds. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.